I had the honor this summer of going to Greece. I went through Corinth, Greece. I went through Athens. I went through some other small parts in Greece, and it was an amazing trip. I got to preach a message on top of Mars Hill. I got to go on top the Acropolis in Athens and in Corinth. Got to go to some of the ancient ruins in Corinth where Paul himself preached. It was incredible. To that church, he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 24, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Now, I am not known in teaching as being an overly practical guy. I'm more of a theology guy, and some people may say, well, that's a weird distinction. And let me explain what I mean. There are some preachers who simply want to, the first one that jumps to mind is Pastor Alistair Begg. I mean, there are a few preachers I admire more than Alistair Begg. He is out of Cleveland, Ohio, Parkside Church, just a wonderful preacher, wonderful minister of the gospel. The subtitle to the man's ministry, the title to the man's online work is truthforlife.org, where the learning is for living. And I find in the man's teaching an amazing depth of practicality and just sort of a everyday. He preaches to Christians and has for 40 years. Now, I'm a very young preacher, and I find myself doing a lot of things with my mind in evangelism while I'm preaching, and that's both bad and good. When I'm preaching to the church, when I'm preaching to the church in which I currently am a elder and pastor in that church, I kind of want to remember I'm talking to Christians with an evangelistic focus. But for so much of my ministry as a missionary now for 13 years in the world in apologetics and in street preaching and in everything that I do, I'm sort of preaching an evangelistic message in it all. And so now, as a newer pastor, the time I've spent in churches, in between that beginning ministry, 13 to almost 18 years ago now, and now as I've gone more and more into the pulpit and more into ministry, I'm seeing this need of remembering my audience as believers and sort of having an evangelistic secondary focus. I mean, you always want to include certain things, but my point is, I'm not known for being very practical. And for many Christians, that's an okay thing. Like, I preach big theology. I don't want to rob anybody of the depth of Scripture by always going back to my hobby horses in theology, like the sovereignty of God or something. I don't want to always end there, sort of begin there, and then rob people of the depth of Scripture, which addresses so many subjects. I need to think as a preacher about how I can preach to the sheep more. And so one thing I want to say to the Christian here on this brief sermonette as I drive to get my family some food tonight, a little round trip action here, is, are you running your race like Paul said, with the prize in mind? I just want to talk a little bit about what that looks like to help you. A friend of mine, a few years ago in the pulpit, said, you know, Olympic runners will strip down, sometimes to almost nothing, sometimes completely to the nude in ancient days. I haven't seen that, but I can imagine and have seen. I used to run track, and those little shorts were kind of offensive to wear as a man. But anyway, lesser clothing, less obstruction, less weight, the better. Aerodynamics. Everybody that knows when you ride bikes, even if you're a biker, you wear the bullet helmets and the leotards, right? For several reasons, one of which is aerodynamics, I think. I'm not a biker. a bicycler, you know, a cyclist. If you're a swimmer, you shave your legs. Very unmanly, but you know, it's supposed to help you with the movement in the water. Hydrodynamics. You know, I'm not a swimmer. I don't know, but that's what I'm told. Maybe guys are just looking for an excuse to shave their legs. I don't know. That's sad. But anyway, you know, we all know when you run, if you're carrying 2 5-pound weights, that's not as, you're not going to run as fast for long as if you're carrying nothing. So you try to get down to nothing. And a friend of mine in a sermon talked about throwing off that besetting sin, you know, casting it off. As a believer, why would you run with unnecessary weight? And so for the believer, it's not just a fear of hell. In fact, there is no fear of hell for the genuine child of God. Perfect love casts out unnecessary fear, all that kind of fear. By the knowledge of what Christ has done, we grow more and more into that image, and less certain things that might have motivated us before will motivate us in the future. And for the believer, there's this glorious point where you realize this isn't about hell for me. This is about running my race to win. And so I start to look at my sin, not just in a condemnatory sense, but as, why would I run with this when it inhibits my race? Why would I do that? Why would I carry this weight? And that's what Paul's saying to believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. So for you, listener, you're a believer. Are you beating your body into submission? This is that great Romans chapter 8 affirmation of the Spirit of God in our spirit. Crying out, Abba, Father, we cry out because the Spirit leads us to put to death the deeds of our flesh. In Romans chapter 8, we read this, that if you're doing that, that you're led by the Spirit of God, thus you're doing that, and you're going to live. And the Spirit bears witness in this that we are the children of God. So in this life, Christians are about putting to death sin. That is progressive, that is ongoing, that is violent, that is against our sin. We are in a war. And in 1 Corinthians 9, when Paul talks about beating his body in his submission, it's exactly and in part what this looks like. But for you, believer, I think about it like this. In that thing, what gets you motivated to do that? I'm trying to be very practical here. For everyday living, for this coming Sunday, for tomorrow, it's a Saturday right now as I record this, for tomorrow, what might it look like to be in that war again, and then again on Monday, and then on Tuesday, and Wednesday? Think about it like this. There is to be in our minds as believers something greater that motivates us, something that's bigger than the fight, and it's the prize. It is this, in the games, I had the privilege to go to Greece and see in ancient Corinth a bema seat judgment in an old Roman park that Paul very well may have laid his eyes on directly and under inspiration wrote what he wrote about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 about standing before the judgment seat of Christ, this imagery of the bema seat of the games being officiated. I had the privilege of seeing an ancient Corinthian games judging platform. It was awesome to see. May have had that very thing in mind. It's the idea of standing before Christ as a believer in such a judgment to be crowned. That's what he said. Everybody competes in the games, but only one person's getting the crown, the victor's crown. Run as if to win. So, the Olympic runner that is doing X miles at a 5-minute mile pace. You ever tried to run a 5-minute mile? Let's just say almost none of us will ever do that naturally. And those who can naturally have to work very hard to be able to do it for any length of period of time. People running Prefontaine, that dude, running miles in like 5 minutes and doing like 5 miles or something. I don't even, something ridiculous like that. And I mean, I think he even hit sub fives at times. Wow. You ever try to do that? I can barely run at my age a 9-minute mile. Okay, that's pretty easy. An 8-minute mile, 5-minute mile. What gets the Olympic runner out of bed on a Saturday morning at 3 a.m. before the sun comes up so they're not running in the heat of the day. When they don't want to get up, they've been training all week, man, sore joints. The Olympic trainer, what gets them out of bed? The gold. The silver and the bronze, okay, that's cool too. That's what you get. Good work. You still worked very hard, but you're running for the gold. People, you know, tell themselves, and they're right, hey, I went for the gold, but I got a silver or bronze, and you worked very hard. Good job. But you don't run for that. You run so to win. You want the gold medal. What gets that runner out of bed on a Saturday morning? The cyclist. It's got to leave at 2 a.m. to beat the sunrise before 10 degrees every 30 minutes increases where they're biking. The gold. So in this war against your sin, which can sometimes feel just completely overwhelming, and one of the prospects of heaven for me is just no more war. No more battle with my lusts, pride. No more. It's done. What kind of fullness of rest will that be? I long for that day. I long for that day. Well, that is the prize that is set before me. Rest. Well done, good, faithful servant. You put to death the deeds of the flesh. Good job. And that may look different for us in our lives. Men, women, older, younger. It can be many things. But you fought against sin and showed the power and grace of God in your life, first to God, then to others, and to yourself, maybe to your children. You showed the overcoming glories of Christ in the church. You displayed it. Well done. Well done. That's what gets you out of bed. The runner in the Olympics looks for the gold, and it gets them out of bed in the morning. What about you? Well, maybe this is a part. Maybe this can help you. When you stand before Christ, do you want that honor from Him? Do you want that glory from Him? We do have also from Paul in 2 Timothy 2, starting in verse 4, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And he goes on to talk about this. Don't you want that reality proven in your life to please your Creator? If so, get out of bed on Saturday morning. Keep fighting. Keep warring as if to win this prize. It's set before us as believers in Scripture. It's set before us for a reason. And God is not saying don't want this prize or it's not legitimate when you compete. That would be evil to do, and He doesn't do that. So don't let any Bible teacher twist this for you. Run to win. This is the kind of stuff that gets the runner out of bed in the morning. And when you think of your war with your sin, with the world, the flesh, the devil, keep fighting. Keep fighting. I remind you of this prize that's set before you. Compete according to the rules, He says. Do it well. Fight well. Don't give up. Keep going. We are all in need of endurance. And sufficient for today is the grace of God in your life. Tomorrow, His grace will again be sufficient. Repent. Continue to war and fight. Don't give up. Don't give up.